Amen. Okay, so we're going to begin today in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. Everybody got that? Okay, Father, I just thank you for the word of God today. I thank you for this Bible. Lord, without this Bible, we would be lost. We'd be all over the board. And so, Father, I thank you for the word of God that grounds us, is our foundation, Lord, that we can always locate where we are at by the word of God, Lord. And I just ask, Father, for our hearts and our minds to be enlightened as we receive the revelation of the word of God today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys ready? Okay, so I just ask you to just take the mind of the world off and set it aside just for a little while, and let's take the mind of the Spirit and put that on, okay? So we're going to be looking at everything today according to the Spirit of God, not according to the world. Is that all right with you? Okay. So which is more real, the spirit of this world or the Spirit of God? You'd think so, but they're both real. And you get to follow whichever one you want. How about that? Praise God. You can follow the spirit of this world if you want to, and you can follow the Spirit of God if you want to. And the Spirit of God's a gentleman. He won't force you. So you have to choose to follow him. However, the spirit of this world will impose itself on you. So you have to stand against it. So that means you've got to actually want what God's provided. You have to go after it. It's not going to just fall in your lap. You don't just get it because it's true. You have to go after it. Well, starting off with some really good news this morning. Going to make you work for it today. Okay, so are you in your Bible? 2 Corinthians 5:21, or it's on the screen. Let's look at this together. This is our jump-off scripture. Who's he? Jesus. For he, or God, he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Let's talk about this. Let's really talk about this, because we're in healing school, right? And in healing school, we come to either be healed or be able to heal other people, or both, right? So we need to either be able to lay hold of a healing for ourselves, which could be physical, emotional, it could be across the board. It could be pain leaving in our body. It could be something being transformed inside of us. We can believe for all kinds of things. And then we would like to be able to, in all circumstances, heal other people too. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Do you think the Bible has made provision for that? And do you think there's a whole lot of people in the world that don't believe that's true? Mm-hmm. So we need to get really grounded in a few things, okay? So that when other people, and even ourselves sometimes, and those thoughts come that say we're not qualified, or we haven't got the goods, or I haven't lived just right, or it's up to God. I'll do my part, but the rest is up to God. Those kinds of statements, you've got to be able to radically throw them down. Okay, so we need to know a couple of things and really get settled in just a couple of things. It's not a lot, but we have to have it for sure, okay? So here's the first one. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Okay, so God made Jesus who knew no sin to be made my sin and your sin, right? So he died on the cross so you don't have to. Is that right? Because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. Yes or no? So the payment, the penalty for sinning is death. Okay, so let's qualify sin. If I was 5 years old and I took a cookie out of the cookie jar and my mom said, "Did you take a cookie out of the cookie jar?" and I said, "No." Am I worthy of death? Yes. Can you believe that? For lying about stealing a cookie out of the cookie jar? So let me just make a little example. If I've got a plate glass window, a 20-foot wide by 20-foot tall glass window in the side of the building, beautiful window. If I found. I'm not interested in that. And I shoot a BB through that window. Is the whole window broken? One BB hole destroys the entire thing. If I drove a Mack truck through it or a Peterbilt truck through it, is it just as broken? And we have to get that. It's not what the sin was, it's the fact that it happened. Right? Wrong. So who has not sinned in this room? Okay, who's not worthy to be killed by God? Who's good enough that God does, he's not justified to kill you? Really? None of you are good enough to live in the presence of God? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in the world. So all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yes and amen. And the devil uses that against us because we know our flaws and we know our shortcomings. We know that we aren't all that in the flesh, right? So we have to really, really, really get grounded that my sin, everything that disqualifies me from being in perfectly confident, right standing, face to face with Almighty God, has to be removed. So some of us need to really work on getting that grounded in our hearts and minds. Colossians 1 says that he has qualified us. Do you have that up there? I think it's 111, right around there somewhere, 112. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of his inheritance in the saints in the light. I have not qualified myself. You cannot qualify yourself. Are you with me? Bruce is teaching a series on Wednesday nights. I encourage you to come. It's the elementary principles of God found in Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. Everybody should know what those, you all do, you just probably don't know that you know what those six elementary principles are. But the first one is repentance from dead works. And what dead works are, in a nutshell, is anything you can do to get God's approval. That's a dead work. Anything you can do to get God's approval is worth absolutely nothing. Jesus paid it all. Are you with me? We have to get that down inside of us. You don't qualify on your own. God qualified you. Amen? So, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. So, what status was Jesus before he was made sin? He was sinless. He never knew any sin. He's never, ever sinned. Completely blameless in the sight of God. Never transgressed in one part or portion. So he was righteous, right? Not only that, but he had God's own righteousness because he was God in man, wasn't he? So he is completely righteous, and you were completely sinful. True or not true? So he who is absolutely blameless before God, above reproach, could not even label him with any stain or any offense. Perfect. He changed places with you and me. That takes some time to get that settled in your mind. The devil does not want you to really own that piece of information. So he who was perfect and righteous died on the cross as you and me. And I want to let you know, when you and me all look together, we were all together, all generations of all people, all sin from the first to the very last, which is a finite number, it's an exact number of all sin ever, was placed on him. It transformed him to the point that he couldn't be recognized as a human being. Not from the whippings, not from the nails, not from his beard being plucked out, not from the beating. The sin that he bore was so horrific, it transformed him and gnarled him and mutilated him to the point he wasn't recognizable as a person. That's yours and mine collectively placed on him. Are you with me? So the sins of the whole world of all time were placed on him. Guess what? Any algebra equation, whatever you do to one side, you have to do to the other side. It has to be equal. Are you with me? It has to balance out. So to come to a conclusion, you have to take what's on one side and put it on the other side to reconcile the equation. So by him who was righteous, he, to equalize it, he had to take our sin. But he had to equal it. That means he had to give us his righteousness. So everything that you could ascribe to Jesus, sinless, perfect, above reproach, blameless in the sight of God, has to now be how God sees you. Whether you believe it or not. So your sin being laid on Jesus, how real is that to you? Many people will say, oh yeah, he bore my sins. But when they walk on the world, they suffer from condemnation. You know what that means? They don't believe it. They suffer from shame. Why? Because they are ascribing their earthly condition to who they are. They're still seeing themselves according to the flesh. So because of that, the devil will disqualify you. He'll let you self-condemn so that the power won't flow. Because if you see yourself as unworthy, guess what? You get the manifestation of unworthiness. God will not override you. He gave you free will. If you want to believe that, you're allowed to. But it'll make you powerless when it comes to the things of God. So now, how much of your sin you believe was actually placed on him is how much of his righteousness you may be able to allow that is on you. How righteous did he make you? That we might become the righteousness of God in him. Not that God ascribes righteousness to you. God's own righteousness he gave to you. Righteousness, loosely translated, is equity. When you have a house and you're making payments, you got a mortgage on it, which is actually mortgage, which means death grip. So when you have the death grip of a mortgage on you, that's the truth, then there's a portion of it that the bank owns and a portion of it that you own, right or wrong? What's the part that you own called? You have that in the house. The equity in the home is the part that is yours. Nobody else owns it. You do. That's yours. So righteousness is equity. So God took what belongs to him, the totality that is only his. No one can touch it. He ascribes to you. How good is that? When we get that, I mean, you'll just be walking along thinking about that. God gave me his own righteousness. He sees me as himself. He placed me next to himself in Christ. He did that. That's why dead works have no place with God. You can't earn anything from God. He gave it to you free. So you cannot consider yourself in the equation when it comes to healing. Let's move on. So here's your sin placed on Jesus. He died, paid the price for the sins of the whole world. Do you need to see a couple of verses about that? He paid the sins for the whole world. John chapter 1, just so you know, when John was talking, let's just go there real quick for you so you have it. It's in several places, but here's a really good one. John 1, verse 29, he says, "The next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" Did he say the sin of those who will believe? The sin of the world he took. The whole world, every generation, he took. So does that mean the whole world's sins are forgiven, or sin is forgiven? So let's move up from verse 21 and let's go up to 14 in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to work backwards for just a minute. Ready? Verse 14. "For the love of God compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died." Can you believe that's true? That if Jesus died for all of us, then we all died. Is that true or not true? Okay, so then what died? Your sin identity. Your sin identity died. You no longer identify yourself. The old man died. You got to get that. So when the devil comes to beat you up and say, "But you did this, you did that," you say, "Yes, I did. Yes, I did that." "Well, that's wrong and that's a sin." Yes, it is. Yes, you're right. But Jesus, before I was born, paid the price for every one of my shortcomings, my mishaps, my sins, and my willful disobediences. He knew me before the foundations of the world, and he prepared a plan that you, devil, would have no power over me, even though I have fallen short. Are you with me? Don't let him ascribe condemnation or shame to you, no matter what you do. Don't let the devil do that to you. But I'm not saying go out and just go run roughshod in the world. That's not what I'm saying. God put a conscience in you, and guilt will override you. That's why we walk in holiness. That's why we purify ourselves. That's why we lay it down. We die to those things, so they don't make us go through this tussle within ourselves that gives the devil a foothold. Because if we deliberately sin, we become his servant, right? And then he can just run all over us. And then we're in condemnation. And if we're in condemnation, the power of God won't flow through us, even though it's present. It's like having a plugged pipe. The valve's turned off. Okay, even though the water's there or the electricity's there. Okay, so going back, 14. For the love of Christ compels us because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should what? Should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. So who are you living for according to this? Who should you live for? Jesus. Not for yourself. That's another biggie. Are you living for the Lord, or are you living your life pleasing to the Lord? Big difference. Big difference. He has to be your motivation, your motion in your life, your submarine motivation, the deep things motivating you has to be for Jesus, for God, for the Spirit of God that dwells in you. Okay? The devil can get us on that one if we let him. Well, I haven't been serving God like I think I should have been, or I haven't been praying enough, or maybe I haven't been reading my Bible enough. Yes, devil, you're right. You're absolutely right. But Jesus. Are you with me? Don't let him shame you. Don't let him condemn you. He's a liar, and he's always going to try to get you on equal footing with him. Always. And some of us are so programmed already that just a little slip and we self-condemn. Get that out. Do you believe that your sin has been paid for, that your sin was carried on the cross? Get that settled in your heart. Verse 16, I love this part. These next two verses are part of my favorite part of the Bible. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him thus no longer. So, what's he saying? This is exciting. We don't look at anybody as purely human on the earth anymore. Why not? What about the ungodly people? Shouldn't we look at them as purely human? Their sins have been paid for too. We shouldn't even look at them as just ungodly humans. We don't look at anyone as merely a fleshly human anymore. That time's over. We're out of that period. We look at everyone differently now. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. If someone's not in Christ, are they a new creation? Mm-mm. Stop. Hold it on creation. If you're here on Sunday, Shannon used a wonderful example of a bank account. If God placed $1 million for each one of us in the bank, and some of us live to the nines. I mean, we're sporting bling. We drive nice vehicles. We got a beautiful house. We got friends. We have a wonderful, fun lifestyle because we know how to spend the money that were given to us. Other people don't believe they actually got the money in the bank. They don't even know it's there. So guess what? Their life, they never tap into it. even though it's been provided for them. So we all get to the revelation of our knowledge. We get the fruit of that. They don't. They don't have it. They don't even know it's available yet. I stopped on creations is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All right. This is the important part. How did that happen? How did old things pass away and all things become new? What passed away? Don't be afraid to answer. Shout it out. Come on, I'll repeat what you said. She said our sin. You said what? Renewing of our mind passed away. What passed away? Your sins? Old man? You guys, ready? Your flesh life? Old things have passed away. Your entire way of looking at yourself from before you got your relationship with God is gone. The entire way that you perceive yourself is over. And all things have been made brand new. How were they made brand new? You got to get this, huh? A little louder. We take our Christ identity. Yes, I'll make it even easier than that for you, though. We got the Spirit of God placed on the inside of us. Listen to me. When you got born of God, God's Spirit was placed inside of you, yes or no? That created a new kind of a person, yes or no? Are you the kind of a person without the Spirit of God in you? Or are you a new type of a person where these old ways of looking at you is passed away and now we look at you a little differently because you're a new kind of a person with the Spirit of God inside of you? Which are you? Spirit of God? Yes. So you are the type of person who has the Spirit of God in you now. Can the Spirit of God ever be taken out of you? Not by anything you do. Not by anything you do. You didn't qualify to get the Spirit of God. You can't become unqualified to remove him. You need to get that down inside of you. You didn't do anything for your sins to be carried on the cross. Jesus chose to obey the Father and carry them. When God bore you as his son, God is a spirit. And so when he bore you, he bore a spirit. Yes or no? So now you are in the Spirit. Jesus relocated us from in the flesh to into the Spirit. He conveyed us, or in Ephesians, he said he moved us, relocated us. What's the right terminology in Ephesians, anybody? Anyway, he made us to sit with him in heavenly places. Are you with me? So he took us from just being that flesh person that doesn't exist anymore and moved us over here in the Spirit. That's you. If you have the Spirit of God in you, does anyone not have the Spirit of God in them in this room? Everybody has the Spirit of God? Do this if you do, just to let me see you're awake. Okay, so you are all new creations, right? So does that make you God's own righteousness? Not on your own, in him. So let's think about this for just a second. The in him part, okay? He didn't take your sin on himself, Jesus, to wipe out your sin. So now you're clean. He did more than that. He put his Spirit inside of you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, the first man, Adam, he was earthy. He was of the earth. But the last Adam, he was the heavenly Adam. He was a life-giving spirit, right? So he, the life-giving spirit, is inside of you. What does the spirit give? Romans chapter 8. Let's look at that real quick. Just one verse, maybe more, but you got to really get this. Romans chapter 8, verse 10. I'm going to just read it. It says, and if Christ is in you, which you all said he is, the body is dead because of what? Sin. But the spirit is life because of what? Righteousness. So you became God's righteousness in him. Therefore, the spirit in you is life. Get this, is life itself. So the life of God is in the spirit, and it's working in you because God made you his own righteousness. So everything that works for, in, and with, by God can work for, with, and by you. Not because you're all that and a bag of chips. Because you've been moved in the spirit in Christ. Your new legal location gives you that, not your performance. Are you with me? It's important to get that. So, now when we walk on the earth, as men and women on the earth, are we in the spirit? Yes. Whether you realize it or not, yes. Okay? So, you and I are always in the Spirit. So now we're taught to walk in the Spirit since we live in the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5 says. So it says that we walk by the Spirit. We walk by what? Life. 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 That's Zoe. That is not the kind of life you get by eating food, drinking water, sleeping, and having locomotion. In other words, moving on the planet. You have to do all those things. Your flesh needs food, sleep, water, and it has to move around. It has to physically have motion to work. Okay? That is not the life we're talking about. We're talking about a life of God, the one that heals people, the one that heals you. Are you with me? That life comes from what? It's the S word, spirit in you. So the spirit in me, because I'm a pastor, is it stronger than the spirit in you? Wait a minute. But I'm a pastor. Come on, give me some slack here. Shouldn't I have more of the spirit than you? Because you're only the audience. No. Absolutely 100% the exact same. Because you got all of God in you. And I got all of God in me. If I can apply my understanding, I have to apply my understanding. The Bible says that we have to set our minds on things above. Okay? That means we have to actually own it and understand it. Because the devil is sneaky and a liar. So let me ask you this, which has more influence, the things of the flesh or the things of the spirit? Just shout it out. I'm not going to shame anybody. Spirit, anybody else think the flesh? It depends on you, she says. That's absolutely correct. In the hierarchy of things, The law of the spirit of life, as it says in Romans 8, is higher than the law of sin and death, right? Just like an aeroplane with the force and the lift can supersede the law of gravity. A plane flies not because it stopped gravity, because when it has the gas and the aerodynamics, the thrust and the lift is greater than the load and the drag, it'll fly, right? Anything will fly if the lift and the thrust is greater than the load and the drag. Anything will. You just got to give it enough force, right? So that word force, it doesn't come by having an ignorant mind. That force is what you exercise to stir yourself up in the spirit. That's what you apply. Remember, I said that the world will, the spirit of this world will impose itself on you, but the Holy Spirit won't, because he's a gentleman. It's got to be your choice, because he gave you his spirit. Now he wants you to be like any child that grows up like his parents. There comes a time when the child has to start making some decisions and being responsible and taking on the load of the house so that he can reproduce that in another place. Same with us. We have to, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force, yes or no? And since the time of John, we do what? We press into the kingdom of God. Force. You exert the mind and mental acumen. You think godly thoughts. You set your mind that you are actually above and not beneath. You are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus in the throne of God. So that's your point of view as you walk on the earth. Some of us need to do that. Because if you don't, and you don't, and if the plane stops pushing, what does it happen? What's a natural byproduct? Why? Because gravity never stopped. The plane's operating by a principle that's greater than the gravity. Sin never stops. Condemnation and shame is always present if you're not in the spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who no longer walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So if you're not walking according to the Spirit, you will walk in condemnation. That's how you know. Are you with me? So we deliberately stir ourselves up. We deliberately renew our minds. We deliberately quote scriptures to ourselves. We deliberately fellowship with God. We deliberately read our Bible, because if we don't, sin takes over. The gravity wins. It's not, you're not going to stop sin. Sin is condemned where? In the flesh. Romans chapter 8. Jesus condemned sin here in our flesh. Are you with me? We're talking about healing now. Always, that's what we're talking about. It comes by the Spirit. So as we stir ourselves up in the Spirit, as we really know who we are, as we know that our sins have been forgiven, we didn't do anything to deserve it, so we can't wreck it. We don't let the devil condemn us if we make a mistake, if we fall short. If we willfully, disobediently, rebelliously transgress God, we do not let the devil beat us up, because Jesus paid it. We go to the throne of grace in our time of need because we're blowing it and we need God's help. We need to be restored. And if we confess that we've blown it and we lost our perspective and we fell short, we stopped pressing in and we fell short into the condemnation and the shame, made a mess of ourselves, we acknowledge it. And he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Unrighteousness is thinking in the old man. Right? Because he gave us his righteousness. And if we forget that we've been made righteous, then we fall into unrighteousness. And he'll cleanse us of that. He'll say, no. My spirit is in you. Come on. Boom. Get back up here. Start flapping your wings again. You can fly. Are you with me? The devil will use it against you if you don't get settled in that. Are you guys okay with this message? All right. Is it making sense to you? I should go to verse 2. Let's take a look at this now. For sake of time, let's take a look at this. 1 Peter 2:24. We really love to look at the second part or the last part of 2 Peter 2:24. In fact, many of us hang our hats on it. And the last part of it, after that dot, dot, it says, by whose stripes you were healed. Yes or no? That's what it says. So when Jesus took those stripes on the cross, when he paid the price for the sins of the whole world, Isaiah 52 and 53, when he did that, he made you clean. You just didn't know it before. So you operated according to the flesh. But now that you're in Christ and you understand you're in Christ and God's Spirit's in you, you've made the righteousness of God, now you're clean, you're pure, you're holy. And nobody can take that away from you. But you have to set your mind on that, that's the truth. You have to really place it there and hold it. Let's look at the whole verse now. Who himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we having died to sins. Might live for righteousness. Would you say that's a qualifier to operate in by whose stripes we were healed? Mm-hmm. It's pretty much sums it up. He bore your sin. He bore my sin. He made me righteous. Now, that means that we, that word having, is that future tense? It's past tense. Did you die to sins? What does that mean, died to sins? No wrong answers, just shout it out so I can repeat it. Our righteousness, our identity is dead. You no longer ascribe sin to yourself. Sin cannot be placed on you. Having died to sin, you died to sin. Nobody can place sin on you ever. When you walk it out, devil says, you did this, you did that. Sure I did. Yes. But Jesus. Oh, but yesterday you were thinking these thoughts and these thoughts about that. Yes. But Jesus. Well, you're never going to amount to anything. No. But Jesus did. And now my righteousness is in him, not me. You got to get that. My righteousness is in him, not me. It's ascribed to me, just like my sin was placed on him, his righteousness is placed on me. But it's in him. Without him, I'm not righteous. Without him, I'm not forgiven. Without him, I'm not a son of God. But he's eternal, and he died once for sin for the whole world. And now you and I, we have been reconciled back to God. So you and I can never again think that we can fall short of God. And that's the force that the plane has to be fueled up. You need fuel or gravity wins. Automatically, you'll be sitting there and all of a sudden you'll realize you're in condemning thoughts. You're in thoughts that are judging you as less than a son of God. And yes, you are all sons of God. And yes, I'm a bride of Christ. Right? It's not a gender thing. It's a position thing. All right? So you are a son of God. Therefore, you are as Jesus is. Oh, the Bible even says that in 1 John 4, verse 17. It says, as he is. How is he? Seated at the right hand of the Lord. Ascended on high. All power and all authority and every name that can be named is under him. He is above it all. And I'm seated right next to him. I've got to see that. We no longer look at ourselves from a merely human point of view. We are a new creation. We have God's Spirit, and we are seated with him. Our position and who we are is perfect and without blame. The Bible says it's the Spirit in us that purifies us or sanctifies us or makes us holy, not you. You're the glove. And the glove does what the hand does. Whatever the Spirit does, you do. Because you're led by the Spirit. These are the sons of God, Romans chapter 8. Yes? That's you. Fuel. You need fuel. If you don't have the fuel, right down again to the ground. Condemnation, shame, disqualification, falling short, powerless. Somebody else has got more than you. Happens. It just happens. Don't even have to try. It just happens. Are you with me? If you exercise in the Spirit enough and long enough, you'll start believing it. And then when you fall, you won't fall as far before you catch yourself. Are you with me? The more you realize who you are and you exercise that position, you'll start owning it. At first, when you learn anything brand new that maxes you out, takes all of your mental capacity, what do? This is exactly what you do. You get rid of all of your distractions so you can focus because this is overwhelming. And you get in an environment where you can just be paying attention only to this until your brain starts letting it click and the picture starts sticking and you start understanding this information so you can walk in this new position of job. Right or wrong? Right. So you have to build yourself a cocoon and get in it and be transformed. Right? Metamorpho by the renewing of your mind. Right? The caterpillar eats and eats and eats and eats and eats the wood. It eats the leaves, eats, eats, eats the word of God, eats the word, eats, eats, eats the word, eats the word, eats the word, reads the Bible, reads the Bible, reads the Bible, prays, reads the Bible, prays in tongues, eats the Bible, read, 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 eat, 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 and then isolates itself so that it can renew and let that word transform it. And then when it busts out, it's an entirely different kind of creature. That's you and me. And when we do that, when we have died to sins, you can walk in by whose stripes you have been healed. The devil put the sin on you. The devil puts the sickness on you. The devil causes your body to break down, and your logical mind will try to say, no, it's the food. I did it to me. It was my lifestyle. Shh. His stripes, his spirit gives you life. His spirit is what energizes your physical body. I'll read one more verse in Romans chapter 8. Verse 11, we read 10, let's go to 11. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, yes, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give what? Life to your mortal bodies. How? Through his spirit who dwells in you. Fuel, 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 fuel. When you get the fuel in you to rise above an earthly point of view, you can start walking, living in the spirit, walking in the spirit, ruling, speaking, living from the throne of God. Victor, not victim. And as you're utterly convinced in your mind that sin can never be placed or ascribed to you again, you're dead to it. You're dead to it. Righteousness starts ruling. And as righteousness starts ruling, life starts brewing. And the more that life gets in you, God will raise you by that very life. He will transform you by that life. He will heal you by that life that is in him. It's that life that raised Jesus from the dead. And that is how God will raise you also. Are you with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the word of God. I thank you for the Bible, Lord. I thank you for every open heart and every open mind, Lord. That we would learn and grow. That we would see ourselves according to your word. That we would own the truth instead of looking for a handout. Lord, that we would be equipped, that we can reconcile the world back to you, Lord, because they don't know. Father, I just thank you that as hearts and minds are getting revelation, that we will walk in the truth of what you've done for us, that we manifest you in the world, your kingdom in the world, healing in our own bodies and in the bodies of those around us. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So when you come in his name, or you are in him, you are coming as him because you're seated with him. Are you with me? You got the power. Praise the Lord. If anybody needs prayer, feel free to come on up here. Pastor Trey and Minton and I are here for you. Other than that, go learn and share it. Love you guys.